Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
I live in a townhome in the middle of a relatively small city. It's very small and outdated, but I live alone, so it's the best I can afford. I worked late this night, getting home sometime around 8 or 9. Pulling up my shared driveway, I noticed the townhome connected to mine had its front door wide open. All the lights in the house were off though, which made me think they must have accidentally left it open and then gone to sleep. I made fun of them in my head and went inside my house, not thinking much else about it. I got out some Frosted Flakes and ate while watching Netflix, then forced myself to go to bed because I had to be up early for my morning shift tomorrow. Going to my bedroom, which happened to have a connecting wall to my neighbor's, I heard a few thumps come from inside their place. My neighbors usually don't make any noise, so hearing anything from them was a rare occurrence. I just hoped they wouldn't keep me up and turned off the lights and hopped in bed. I laid there with my eyes closed for several minutes, trying to drift into sleep, when the most terrifying sound instantly shook me up. My front door being smashed in. It was a single, violent hit. I jumped out of bed and ran into the hallway. There was wood debris all over the floor, and the front door was wide open, but whoever did it must have been moving quickly, because they weren't there. I heard some footsteps running through the living room, and at this point, I could tell there was more than one person. I tried to run back to my bedroom, but a man screamed at me to stop. I turned to face two large men, both wearing masks and hoodies. One was holding a baseball bat, and the other held some sort of metal ramming tool, which must have been used to bust open the door. This next part was chaotic, as they yelled commands at me and forced me to the ground. I didn't even try to fight back, because I knew it would only put me in more danger. One of them held me down, aggressively pressing my head on the floor, while the other went around the house and shoved stuff in his backpack. I was panicking, breathing heavily, and trying to convince them to get off me and just let me stay out of their way. I probably should have just shut up and stayed quiet, but it was hard to think straight. Somewhere around 2 to 3 minutes in, the man that was grabbing stuff came running back to the hallway, yelling at me and the other guy about something outside. The man got off me and ran over to the window, then they both came running back and pushed me down as I was trying to get up. They looked full of rage as they started attacking and threatening me before trying to run out the back door, but they were too late. Four cops had surrounded the house, and seconds later, they forced the men to give up. As it turns out, the men broke into my neighbor's townhome too. They weren't home at the time, but when they pulled in, they immediately called the cops, which was how they were able to help me. The two men turned out to be just regular guys trying to make some quick money. Aside from the smashed front door and a few bruises, I was all right. I still think it was stupid of them to attack me instead of just making a run for it at the end, but I'm sure either way they were screwed. It was by far the most terrifying thing I'd ever been through, but I'm extremely lucky to have had it end up the way it did, with them in prison. I work overnight at a warehouse a few miles out from my home. My schedule varies depending on the day, but I'm usually home between 4 and 6 in the morning. I was driving home from my exhausting shift, and all I could think about was getting in bed and passing out. I wasn't falling asleep behind the wheel, but I definitely wasn't fully awake either. I parked on the street in front of my house and walked in through the front door, then walked upstairs and fell in the bed. It was one of those days where it just felt so good to be laying down. I was asleep in minutes. When I woke up, I was just as tired, if not more so. I wasn't even sure why I'd woken up in the first place. I rolled over and looked at the window, and it was still dark out, so it had to have been less than an hour since I got in bed. As I began to roll back over to sleep again, I noticed something that made me stop. My bedroom door was open. I stared at it for a good couple seconds, just so confused by it. I never sleep with my door open. It always makes me feel uncomfortable. Coming home that day was a blur though, so I couldn't actually remember me closing the door, but it was just one of those things I knew I'd always do no matter what. I got up slowly and walked across the room. All the lights were off in the house, but I looked down the hallway outside my room as I closed the door. The second the door clicked, a sound came from the other side of the house. I don't know how to describe it, but it was like something moving for just a couple seconds. Then it stopped. My whole body froze, and I stood there for a minute, listening for anything else. The silence was deafening now, and only freaked me out more. I took a deep breath and opened the door again. In my head, I still didn't believe this was anything real. I was sure this was just me being scared over nothing, but I still wanted to check just to keep me from overthinking it. I walked across the hallway to the second bedroom, which was where I thought the sound had come from. The room only had a dresser and a bed in it, so there wasn't much to look around. I didn't see anything, so I started walking back, until I heard a door in the hallway creaking open. I leaned over and saw a man stepping out of the closet between me and my bedroom. He was looking at me, and in that moment that we made eye contact, I recognized him. I quickly closed and locked the door to the room I was in, and I heard him run down the stairs and out of the house. Of course, I called 911 as soon as I was safe to go back to my room. Police said there were no signs of forced entry, so they say I must have left the front door unlocked. Again, I know I was tired, but that's just something I always do unconsciously, so I don't know if I can believe it. What scares me is that I know I had seen that man from somewhere before, but I have no idea where or when. It could have just been at the grocery store or walking through the city, but it all seems too coincidental. Also, I don't know how long he was inside my house for, but nothing was taken. I know he was likely the one to open my bedroom door while I was sleeping though, which makes me really uneasy to even think about. He could have done anything or taken anything, but he didn't. Maybe when he opened my bedroom door, he recognized me too and decided not to do what he planned once he saw it was my house. It's all too hard to say, but I've been thinking about it nonstop for a while now and am still paranoid.
This happened back in 2016, and I'm still getting over all of the grief. I haven't really shared this story with anyone yet, but I finally decided to share it. I'm not even going to say where this happened for privacy reasons, even though I've since moved. I'm really afraid that the people related to those responsible might come after me, Anyway, at the time it happened, it was in August, and it was during the evening. My brother and I lived in a small two-bed, one-bath home that sat on 10 acres of land. It was what I once considered my dream home paradise. We had everything I could have ever wanted. A good amount of land, a two-car garage, a pole barn, and a nice view from our back deck. Now, here's some important details to note. The house itself was a basic square with the back deck on the southwest corner of the house. It was notched in the corner of the house with two walls on either side forming the corner of the house. You couldn't see around the house unless you bent over the railing, and you could only see the west and southwest away from the house. The garage was on the south side of the deck, which was only a few feet away from the deck, and the driveway leading to the garage was in front, so you couldn't see anyone coming up the driveway from the back of the house. Anyway, it was the evening. I was sitting on the back deck smoking a joint, and my brother was in his bedroom. I was just outside enjoying the weather and the peace and tranquility of the area. Suddenly, all of that was shattered when I then heard my brother shouting, followed by four loud gunshots. I immediately jumped up, and I looked around the wall of the house towards the window of my brother's room, which faces the backyard. I looked just in time to see three masked men hopping out of the window, and they looked like they were in their late 30s at least, but they were wearing masks, so I couldn't really see their faces. One of them looked at me and froze, almost like he wasn't expecting me to be there. The three then turned and ran around the north wall of the house towards the front yard. I threw my joint out, and I ran inside the house through the kitchen. I then went down the hall to my brother's bedroom. The door was open, and I went inside. When I did so, I stopped dead in my tracks, and my heart then froze. My blood went cold as ice. There on the bed was my brother. He was just laying there, facing up emotionless, with his eyes wide open, bleeding to death. Now, what I did next probably wasn't very smart, but I ran to the living room, and I grabbed one of my guns. I threw open the front door just in time to see a blue Chevy Caprice peeling out of the driveway. I fired three shots at them, one missing, one hitting the car's tire, and one hitting the back window. I must have hit one of the guys inside because I'd heard someone screaming from the car. Looking back, this probably wasn't a good idea to do since there was a house right across the street, and I could very well could have accidentally shot the neighbor's house, but I wasn't really thinking that at the time. Anyway, the car sped off, and I ran back inside. I grabbed some towels to try and go cover the wound on my brother's chest while also calling 911. While trying to cover up the wound, I was telling the dispatcher everything that happened, and I knew that my brother was already gone because he had no pulse when I checked, and he had three bullet holes in his chest, but I think I was just in disbelief at the time. Anyway, since this area has almost no crime rate, you can bet your ass that every sheriff and ambulance in the county was there in about 15 minutes. I had to explain to the detective that was there what happened, while trying not to break down and crying. The sheriff and detective were both in disbelief too, since nothing like this had ever happened in the area in over 37 years. I'll spare you all the little details, but over the next 3 months, the investigation eventually wrapped up. And here's what I learned. After the police had gone through my brother's phone, they found that he had apparently been getting death threats. Apparently, he had been hitting on a girl that was a gang member's girlfriend. Apparently, the guy had warned my brother to stay away from her, and even after he did, I guess he decided that he still needed to get rid of my brother for good. Apparently, the night before he was killed, he had received a message from an unknown person saying,
"I'm coming for you."
Somehow, the guy found out where we lived and brought two guys with him to do the job. The strangest thing, though, as we lived 40 minutes away from the gang's territory, which was in the city. This guy was so aggravated at my brother that he drove himself and two other guys 40 minutes out into the countryside just to kill him. It really amazes me just how far this guy was willing to go just to make sure nobody ever went near his girlfriend. Now let me tell you what happened to those three guys. One of them was the one that I had shot as the car pulled out of the driveway, and he apparently died while in the car. The other guy who was along for the job was caught during a traffic stop. Apparently he was dumb enough to take that same car out the next day, and there was an alert out for it. Now, since there aren't that many sky blue Chevy Caprices left, it was pretty easy to find. He was arrested, and he was charged with murder. And since the prosecutors where the murder happened are way more strict, he was sentenced to death. The guy who orchestrated this whole thing was actually killed in another shooting in his own city the following week. Yeah, pretty crazy how karma gets to you. I think they all got what they deserved in the end, in my opinion anyways. I did have to go to court for the guy I shot, because he had no family apparently. And due to some other circumstances, I didn't go to jail. I did get a hefty fine though for dangerous use of a firearm, probably due to the fact that I could have accidentally shot my neighbor's house, and I had to take a gun training class after that. But I didn't care. For almost a year after this all happened, I didn't do anything except mope around my house, and I barely even left the house at all. I never even went into my brother's room after that. I just left the door to it closed so I wouldn't be tempted to look in it. I was so devastated by what happened that I nearly lost interest in everything. I ended up just packing up all my things and moving out shortly after. I just couldn't stand to be there anymore, nor did I feel safe there anymore after what happened. My brother and I were really close, and to lose a loved one so tragically and suddenly in your own home is devastating. It was sad because I really loved that house. And my brother, I honestly thought it would be our forever home, but I just couldn't stand to be there anymore. I moved 8 hours away, and I haven't been back to that house since, and I honestly don't think I ever will. I do still own the house and the land. I just don't think I can ever go back. And even though I moved, I still won't ever forget that evening and everything that happened. I'm doing a little better now, and I have someone else living with me, but I'll definitely be scarred for life for that event.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.